This is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. And today's guest is, I can tell already, going to be so much fun because we've just sat here. I just met him a minute and a half ago, and he's already like making me laugh. And you were a comedian.
Yes.
Stand up. Okay, let's introduce you. Hank Garrett. And you may know this name from Car 54, Where Are You?
Yes.
And there's so much more than that. So I'm just going to go right to you. And I had asked you to give me your full name, and you said, I don't know it. But it was like six lovely names all strung together on Wikipedia. How did you, what did you call yourself when you were growing up? Like, how did your parents call you?
You don't want to know what my parents called me.
It wasn't just boy chick, get over here.
No, not, no.
Okay.
In fact, at one point, my father thought I was a savior because he referred to me as Jesus Christ, what have you done now?
Yes, commas are really important.
Oh,
you learned that in school later, right? So you were born in New York.
Yes, Monticello, New York.
And when did you know you could be a comedian? Oh, I know what I wanted to ask you first.
Yes.
I understand that you took up bodybuilding as to protect yourself against the rough. Talk about that.
Well,
this is late 40s?
I was born in 1941, October 26th, and I was raised on the streets of Harlem.
Mm-hmm.
And
now, what does that mean? Mama said goodbye, go out and play, and come back before dinner, or what?
Sometimes not even come back.
Oh.
My folks, fruit and vegetable peddlers, they had a push cart at one point, and I was born very late in life to them. And so I was on the street. They were trying hustle very hard to make enough money to live. So I was on my own. There were times I slept on the stairways.
Oh, really?
There were times I slept in a cardboard box. Myself and a bunch of other kids on the street.
Now, were you an only child?
No,
you said born late, so I'm guessing siblings.
I have two half-brothers.
Oh, okay.
And then later on, my folks kind of adopted two young Italian immigrants that came to my school, and they were being bullied. So myself and another friend of mine, we kind of rescued them, and I told my father about them. My father knew the father, who was in the country illegally.
Uh-huh.
So was my father. And my father became a guardian to two boys that became my half-brothers.
Oh, so he sounds like a nice person, your father.
Yes. He was known as Big Sam.
Oh, okay.
And I never knew why. There were a couple of instances I heard about my dad.
Was that nice for you, having these boys in the house with you?
Yeah, the three of us slept in one bed, and it was kind of interesting. At one time, the bed was referred to as a waterbed because one of the boys was a wetter, yes.
So go ahead, talk more about growing up there. So at what point did you decide to do bodybuilding, or did your father encourage that?
And no.
How were you bullied? What did that consist of?
This was Harlem, and there were very few Caucasian kids.
Mm-hmm.
Being of Jewish parentage, everyone had moved out except my parents.
Oh,
we stayed there because they couldn't afford to move anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started martial arts at 11. I started studying Taekwondo Hapkido to become a better street fighter.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I learned respect.
Oh.
And I honored my teacher, who is from Korea.
And when you say you learned respect, does that mean you learned respect for the people who were actually bullying you, or respect for yourself, or all of it, or what?
All of it.
Uh-huh.
When I walked into the training area, the dojo, we bowed to the teacher. We bowed toward the flag. And I just kept going. And then I started training weightlifting at the age of 13. At 16, I became a comedian up in the Catskills.
Okay, so what was that transition?
Oh.
Yeah, see, you're laughing,
I told jokes to save myself from a beating from gangs.
I see. Okay, so that's really interesting.
Got my nose busted when I was 9 years old.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like Scheherazade. As long as you're talking, you don't get the punishment. Oh, my goodness.
I was just standing on the street corner, and a kid came up to me and punched me square in the face. And he was part of a gang, and one of the gang members said, "Why'd you hit that kid?" And he said, "He cursed my mother." I'd never seen him before. Uh-huh. Number of years later, as a power lifter, I broke the New York State powerlifting record. I ran into him, the guy that broke my nose. And I walked up to him and I said, "Remember me?" He said, "No, I don't know you, man." I said, "I'm the kid that you came up to me and said, 'I cursed your mother and you broke my nose. And now I'm going to kill you.'"
And he
fell to the ground. "Oh, don't hit me, please." And I just stood over him, looked at him, and as I walked away, I said, "Oh, and please say hello to your mom."
Oh, my goodness.
So that was...
That's kind of a, yes, that's a lovely revenge.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, let him do his own punishment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how did you get your first job then? So you were good at telling jokes.
Yes, I went to an agent, a theatrical agent. I had
accumulated. So you just kind of knew what to do.
I heard from other people. I was listening to Red Buttons and a couple of others and how they got
Radio?
Started. No, I saw them in shows.
Oh.
They came to the neighborhood to perform. Fats Waller came to my school.
Wow.
Yasha Heifetz. They were performing for The Poor,
mm-hmm.
which we were a full-time member. So I spoke to a couple of people, and they said, "Well, you know, if you had some jokes..." And I was up in the Catskills with a couple of friends, and I saw a comedy team by the name of Pepper Davis and Tony Reese. And I approached the comedian, Pepper Davis, and I said, "God, I want to do this."
Mm-hmm.
And he gave me some jokes to get started.
Wow.
And so I had a few jokes, and I went up to an agent, and I said, "Listen, I'm very popular in Chicago. I've never been to Chicago." And he gave me the chance. He booked me in for $30. And
I wonder if people can do that anymore.
Probably not.
I would bet not.
No.
I wonder if there are people who would give a young comedian some jokes.
I do.
Oh, good
I do.
For
in
you.
Fact, if there's a young man who can, I remember a young man who was a messenger,
uh-huh.
and he came up to me and he recognized me from television and he said, "God, I'd love to get started. What do I do?"
Uh-huh.
I took him to lunch,
uh-huh.
and I gave him
okay.
a list of agents, and I said, "Please use my name."
I think there are not so many people who will do that anymore, from what I hear.
The old-timers
yes.
will.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. I was talking about the
old-timers.
You were considered, and that's okay, so am I. So what happened? So you went summer after summer to the Catskills?
Yes, and I became a social director at one of the hotels. And I played Simon Says and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, so that magnifies the whole picture because you weren't just going up on stage telling a few jokes and getting off. You were really a part of it.
Oh, absolutely.
So who was there when you were?
Oh, my Buddy Hackett.
Mm-hmm.
Red Buttons. Jan Murray.
Yes.
You know, and I watched. And then I met a guy by the name of Carl Ballantyne, the amazing Mr. Ballantyne, a comic magician. And I traveled with him, and I would go to all the shows and just sit there and watch and learn his timing. And now I'm a storyteller.
Oh, I like that. So by that time, you mean you're a storyteller.
Yes.
Yes. Your timing apparently seemed really great from the way you handled that bully.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you didn't have a problem with timing. Okay, so you became a storyteller, and that meant what?
A lot different from the people who were doing one-liners.
Oh, sure. Okay. How would you equate that today? To whom?
Henny Youngman, who is a one-line...
No, I know. Yes, I understand who the
myself,
one-liners are. So who are the storytellers, though?
There are not too many.
No, I remember mostly one-liners.
Yes. I told stories about my family.
Uh-huh.
Oh. There was I got so much material.
Can you tell us a story about your family?
Well, my ex-wife, I wound up with a lot of material. And people said, "Well, how did you meet your ex-wife?" I said, "I just opened my wallet and there she was." So things of that nature, the divorce, I said, just went through a horrendous divorce. And they said, do you have any animosity toward your ex-wife? I said, no, I worship the ground that's coming to her. Mm. And it was...
yes.
So I had two children. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, one of my boys was lost.
Oh.
Yeah, he was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Oh, that's horrible. Yes.
So I've got a lot of material from them.
You what?
I got a lot of material from my sons.
Yes, yes. Well, what was the transition? When did you come to Los Angeles and do?
I came out here.
How did that work?
I came here from New York. I had a series with James Earl Jones. I was co-starring.
Oh. In what?
We had a series called Paris, and he was a detective, a captain of the police department, and I was his boss. I was deputy chief inspector.
Mm-hmm. What year was that?
I came out here in 1981.
Oh, that's late,
yeah.
From what I'm thinking. Yes.
Oh, yeah. I'd been out here once before as a wrestler.
Talk about that. The only wrestler I remember is Gorgeous George.
It was a little bit before my time.
Yes, I know that.
And I wrestled as Hank Daniels, the Minnesota farm boy.
Wow.
Which is interesting because I'd never been to Minnesota and I never saw a farm. Uh-huh.
And why did you not go by your own name?
It was a name that was given to me by the promoter.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I had long blonde hair.
Yes.
A deep tan. And I spoke like this. He said, is that a Minnesota accent?
So Minnesota of you.
Yeah, why not?
Oh. And so how long did you do this? And what was your rating or standing? I mean,
I'm in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame.
I never knew any of this. Okay. I love hearing stories. Like, you are a storyteller, and
yes.
You got a story to tell. So, okay. So you wrestled. Do you still? I mean.
No.
I mean, just, recreationally or?
No, I'm also in the Karate Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And so what my manager and I, Deanna Marie Smith, what we've been doing of late is mentoring to children that are incarcerated. Deanna Marie is from a farm
mm-hmm.
in Idaho.
Mm-hmm.
We went to visit the farm, and she had set up a situation where I could go and speak to children that are in trouble.
Is that like youth authority?
Yes,
kids?
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
I was always in trouble.
What kind of trouble were you in?
I was always fighting.
Uh-huh, okay, so
and,
that's...
always, I could never find any peace.
Hmm.
Not knowing who I was, truly, because there were four names on my birth certificate.
I counted seven, but go ahead.
Oh, that,
yeah.
And didn't know my parents, truly. One time my mother was at the pushcart,
mm-hmm.
And I was holding onto her hand. I was must about 6 or 7 years old, and a woman came over and said, "Is that your little boy?" And she said, no, that's my grandson.
Huh.
She was embarrassed that she had me so late in life.
Oh, most people would do the opposite today.
I know, today.
They don't admit being Hess. Uh-huh.
And my father, who was in this country illegally, he was, my mother and father were Russian Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped ship,
mm-hmm.
wound up in New York, and he met my mother, who was a widow. He was always afraid that they were going to find him and send him back to Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
And so he assumed my mother's last name, which was Greenberg.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember at one time we were at home. A census taker came in and said, "How many in the family?" And my father said, "Four." So it was a woman and her three children, my two half-brothers,
mm-hmm.
and myself. And he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm an uncle visiting."
Oh.
I said, "My mother is my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
My father is my uncle."
Mm-hmm.
"Who the heck am I?" On my birth certificate was the name Greenberg, Weinblatt, Cohen.
That's what I saw. I wondered about that.
Yeah, so did I.
I'm not the only one. Okay.
Yeah, in fact, at one point I said to my mother when I saw my birth certificate, I said, "Which of these four guys is my father?"
Oh, okay. So that really explains that long list of names that were too many last names.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they're all.
Thank you. Okay. So I can understand. Well, I understand why you felt, "Who am I?" for the emotional messages that went with that.
Oh, exactly.
Yes.
And I spent very little time with my parents.
Mm-hmm.
Only because they didn't have time for
them. They did the best they could.
They did.
Yes.
They did. I never was angry at them.
Nice.
I was angry at the world.
Yes. And now?
No. It's a whole change.
How did that happen?
Well, I've been angry for a long time. Making a lot of money and hating every moment.
Really?
Yeah.
Because?
I just didn't care. Mm-hmm. And someone came into my life who has made me look at life differently. And that's my manager.
Nice.
She has given me purpose. Even though, as I said, I became a so-called celebrity doing Car 54, Where Are You?
So can I just go back a little bit? Because I don't know, how did you come to that?
Okay. I became a cop.
All right.
I was a cop for about a minute and a half.
No, but actually you went through training and became...
Oh, yeah. I went to Delahanty Police Academy in New York.
Okay.
Graduated.
And what drew you to that? What drew you to that?
I said I could do better than the cops on the street.
Good reason.
Yeah, the way they were treating the kids and myself. Mm-hmm. At one time I took a severe beating because the cops were looking for a friend of mine. And I truly did not know where he was. Mm-hmm. But they pulled me in and they beat me to a pulp. Mm. And I swore, if I ever have the opportunity to become a cop, mm-hmm. I would...
Or a kid and do it over.
Yes, exactly. I would do something so differently. I did become a cop. And shortly thereafter... I got a call from a friend of mine, another fellow comic, and his wife was working with Nat Hiken. Nat Hiken, who created the Bilko Show,
yes.
The Martha Ray Show.
I love that Bilko Show.
Oh. Well, they were looking for someone from a new show called Car 54, Where Are You? Uh-huh. About the police department. And I walked in to meet Nat Hiken. My friend had set up the audition.
And in Nat your police Hiken, uniform?
Well, no. No. I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
And so I was sitting opposite Nat Hiken, and I hadn't said a word. And he said, "You're Ed Nicholson." And I said, no, I'm Hank Garrett. And he said, "Just the kind of dummy I'm looking for. Ed Nicholson is the character." And I went, "Oh, God, what a way to start off." And so I was cast on the show. But prior to that, my manager just signaled me because I had forgotten an angel who was sent to me, truly, an angel by the name of Sammy Davis Jr. Mm-hmm. One of my mother's customers was a gentleman who was the mayor of Harlem, and she was crying to him that I was always in trouble. So he came to me on the street, and the first thing he did was knock the cigarette out of my mouth, and I was going to knock him out. But I saw two mountains move toward me, and there were his bodyguards. And he said, "I got okay from your mom to take you out." Now, when you say take you out in New York, that means kill you.
Oh, excuse me. he wasn't asking
exactly
you for a date.
I said, yes.
Okay.
So my dance card is full.
Yes.
No, and so he took me to the Apollo Theater. But before that, he took me to dinner, and I'd never been in a restaurant. And one other time I was, that's another story. But he took me to dinner, and he said, "Do you like the food?" And I said, "Yes, very much." He says, "When we come back from where we're going, there's going to be a package of food for you to take home to your mama." And we went to the Apollo Theater, which is an all-black theater, mm-hmm. in Harlem, to see Sammy Davis Jr.
Oh.
And I saw this man, this dynamo, for 2.5 hours on stage. Sang, danced, played every instrument, did these amazing impressions. We went backstage. And Mr. Davis said, according to what Mr. Bryant just said, "You're either going to go to prison or you're going to die." I said, "Is that it?" He said, "The way you're going, yes." They got me a job with an all-black orchestra. I was a band boy. putting out the charts and the seats.
So you've had a lot of good luck and bad luck walking through your life hand-in-hand best friends.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. But the choice finally was mine.
Yes.
And that's what I try to tell the kids. There is a choice. But you have to listen to your heart.
And and Car 54 was okay with you? You enjoyed that?
I mean, I had the best time of my life.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Each episode I was standing in front of a mirror posing.
But life was still, you said you were angry all the time until recently.
Yes.
So there was still something bubbling, even though you were having a good time.
Exactly. I had gone through two really terrible marriages. My second marriage was the one that really destroyed me completely.
That's really sad.
Even though I had two children, I concentrated on the children because life at home was horrendous.
Yes.
So Car 54 came along, and it just changed so much of it for me.
Good.
But my ex-wife, every time somebody would come over and say, I recognize it, she would walk away.
Jealous?
Completely.
Yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting and really too bad that she probably, what she married you for, in part, ended up being what she was jealous of that she didn't.
Yes,
isn't that
exactly.
Too bad?
Yeah. In fact, at one point, I was working a club, and at the club, my son, who was unfortunately always in trouble, chip off the old block, I guess, and he had never seen me perform.
Mm.
And he saw me as a comedian, and the look on his face
went to good.
Oh, he was wonderful.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, because I did jokes about him. And as an actor, I wound up, because of my martial arts experience, I wound up doing a movie called 3 Days of the Condor.
Oh, I remember that. Mm-hmm.
And I was the killer mailman, and I wound up winning the New York Film Critics Award.
Wonderful.
For best fight scene in film. And here I am today.
Wonderful. I'm so glad that you're doing this. I'm so glad to meet you. Tell me what... Okay, so life changed.
Yes.
And you're not wrestling. You are doing other martial arts, though. You're speaking to kids.
Yes.
And what else? I mean, not that that's not enough, but...
Writing a book.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Writing a book about... It's just about finished, about my life on the street.
Can you say a title, or is that not to be said yet?
Yeah, I think we can. It's called Up From the Sidewalk.
Okay.
And some people have read what we have written so far.
So we should just keep our eyes open for this. This is the only reason I'm asking for the title.
Yes, yes.
Okay. So that'll be at bookstores at some point soon-ish.
And we did a couple of shows, one-man shows, and the response was really super.
I bet. I would go listen to you do a one-man show, for sure.
Thank you.
Smile. See, I need a television moment for things like this. So we're just going to have to assume that people know what you're looking like here laughing. I have a question to ask you, just to slide over to why I'm doing Love Letters Live, because people's stories are wonderful. I do like hearing, I love storytellers. And always is a nugget, I mean, this is how it came about in my life, a nugget of something that lets you know you should be dropping a note or a letter to this person. And most of them are not romantic in my experience. Most of the love letters are not. They're memories, they're sometimes apologies, they're thank you notes, they're come into my life, come into my bed, get out of my life, get out of my bed. Anything written really compassionately, I count as a love letter.
Right.
So if you were to write a love letter today, right now, who would it be to? I mean, I'm listening to you, and I can think of a whole bunch of people.
Oh.
Now, maybe you don't have somebody. That's
no,
okay,
no,
too.
No,
just
no.
To...
Number one would be my manager. She's an amazing lady. I've been with the top agencies. I was with the William Morris agents. I was with the top manager. He managed Tony Bennett and myself. And no one has done as much for me as she is doing. I mean, it's to me, it's mind-blowing.
Do you write letters ever?
I do.
Oh, that's nice.
In fact, she's always on my case about sitting down and writing.
Because I have a thought, of course. And that is, anything you write, anything in your own handwriting, is going to be such a part, it is a part of history. It's a part of film history. It's a part of Catskills history. It's a part of anything you've touched.
Well, that's what the book is.
Okay. That's good. But where's your handwriting? So when you leave letters behind, somebody's going to find them someday. You know, grandchildren find them, nieces and nephews, strangers find them, and they're going to be holding something that's felt the touch of your hand. It's different.
Well, see, I don't use a computer.
Right,
so
I gathered,
I
yes.
wrote longhand. So all L things that we're discussing, it, I wrote longhand.
Okay. I like trails left by people. Because this, you know, when you say you don't use a computer, they're very convenient. But they don't keep anything forever.
Mm-hmm.
They trick you into thinking they do, but they don't. Because they go out of style and they don't work and you have to have some other method. And so what you put on here largely eventually gets lost or corroded. But what's in your own handwriting won't. Okay.
Terrific.
Thank you. Okay. So I just encourage you to put, whenever you have a nice thought, I encourage everybody to just write it and stamp it and mail it. And I don't think it's such a bad idea for somebody who's accomplished what you've accomplished to write one to yourself.
Oh.
You may not be the kind of person who does that, but, you know, wouldn't that be nice?
Yes.
Just a big memory.
Wow.
You know, and a little self-pat on the back.
I can't take compliments.
I know. I can see that in your face that you can't. But you couldn't give yourself one? Well, it's something to think about for when you're an old man. You don't have to do it now. But it's, and without even a compliment or a pat on the back, just a history of, do you remember when you did this? And that story you told about not punching the lights out of that kid that bullied you.
Yeah.
Just some memories that you write down and that you just leave a trail of. I like it. Okay, this isn't about me. Thank you for doing this with me. I'm so glad that you did.
Thank you.
And until next time, first I just want to remind you that if you think you have to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, please remember that writing a love letter is a special occasion. And if you have the courage to do it, you could always write one to yourself and stamp it and mail it. So until next time, this is Janet Gallen and...
Hank Garrett.
And saying goodbye.